Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the December 13, 2018 hearing of the Clark County Land Use Hearings Examiner. My name is Daniel Cairns, and I'll be presiding over the items on tonight's agenda. Let me begin with an introduction to me and a description as to how the process is going to work this evening. First of all, I and one other person, we serve by appointment from the Board of County Councilors to review land use applications, development proposals for unincorporated Clark County. It's our job to review the record, the application, the staff reports, all of the various public comments that come in on these proposals, and then to convene a hearing such as this to take public testimony on the merits of the application. Our job is basically to decide whether there's sufficient evidence in the record to establish that the approval criteria are met by each of these applications. The approval criteria are the standards in the county's Unified Development Code that were in place when the applications were submitted. The approval criteria are analyzed in each of the staff reports that were issued prior to tonight's hearing. And they form the limit as to my discretion in deciding these matters. I can't be more stringent nor more lenient than these criteria allow, but rather to decide whether there's sufficient evidence to establish that they're met. In making this determination, I'm required to be impartial, and I believe that I am with all of the items on tonight's agenda. I don't have any business, familial, or any other relationship with the parties, with the applicants. If you have any questions about my impartiality or potential conflicts, feel free to ask those questions during the public testimony portion of the item that you're here for. With regard to each of the items, with regard to the items generally, this is the order of events. First of all, is the staff report, which is a verbal rendition of the written staff report that was issued prior to tonight's hearing. After that is the applicant's primary presentation. For the applicants, you can assume that I'm familiar with the application and the record. What I'm looking for primarily from the applicant are there any changes to the proposal as it exists in the record? I've had my record for about 2 weeks, so especially any last-minute changes to the proposal, let me know that. Secondly, I need to have the applicant's response, corrections, changes to the staff report, particularly the proposed findings and the proposed conditions in the staff report. And third, from the applicant, if there's going to be public testimony on your item, I'd ask the applicant to keep note of points that are raised by the public testimony. And that's because frequently the testimony that I hear is in the form of, how is this development going to work? How is it going to affect me? What are the practical implications of this thing? And the applicant is usually in the best position to respond to those kinds of questions. So those questions that are most appropriate for the applicant to deal with, keep note of those and respond to them during your final rebuttal. After the applicant, then anyone else in favor can testify. Then anyone with neutral testimony or questions can testify. And then finally, anyone opposed to the proposal can testify. After the opponent testimony, the applicant gets final rebuttal. In all of these matters, the applicant gets the last word, and that's because the applicant has the burden of proving that they meet all of these approval criteria that I mentioned. After everyone has had a chance to say everything that they want to that's relevant on the matter, I'll go back to staff for any parting response to the testimony that came in and any final questions. After that, it's my typical habit to close the record and take the matter under consideration. So you really can't expect a verbal ruling from me this evening. My decisions come out in writing approximately 2 weeks after the record closes on the item. If you need additional time to formulate your testimony or to respond to something that's come in during the hearing, you can ask for a continuance so that the record be kept open. If you want either of those things, you need to make that request during the public testimony portion of the hearing. You also need to raise before me any issue that you might want to preserve for subsequent appeal, and you need to present to me any evidence that you want to rely upon for a subsequent appeal. As I mentioned, what I do at the end of the hearing is typically close the record, and that ends your ability to raise issues or present new evidence. All of my decisions are final and can be appealed to Superior Court through the Land Use Petition Act. And so what goes to the Superior Court in any such appeal is the record that I compile here, along with the pleadings that are part of that appeal. For people testifying tonight, here are some basic guidelines. Please only testify in that order I just recited. Come up to the table in front of me. There are three microphones here. Speak into the microphone. Begin with your name and mailing address. I'll ask that you spell your name also. We need that information because we're required by state law to provide copies of all of our decisions to everyone who participates, and so that's why we need your address. Stick to the approval criteria. As I mentioned, those control my decision completely, and so you should tailor your testimony to just the approval criteria. That's all I can take into consideration. If you agree with testimony that someone else has given, you can say that, and I'll ascribe that point to you. You don't need to repeat their testimony. You can move on to your next point. If you have any exhibits you want me to consider, remember to log those in. Be prepared to leave any such exhibits. They'll become part of the permanent record of this matter. Anyone wishing to keep the record open or a continuance, remember to make that request during your testimony. Failure to raise an issue during this hearing, either orally or in writing, and failure to provide statements or evidence sufficient to allow us or others to respond to the issue will preclude an appeal later on to Superior Court based on that issue. That is it by way of a procedural rundown. We have a couple of schedule changes. First of all, if you're here for the appeal, Northeast 47th Avenue RV Storage, it's APL 2018-8. That appeal has been withdrawn. And the first item is the Person Family Cluster Subdivision, but I understand the third item has a continuance request. So unless anyone objects, I'll deal with the continuance request first, and that may just clear that item out, and we can move to the cluster subdivision. So barring any objections, let's do the covenant release, AFN 5170404. It is CPZ 2018-16. So, Richard, this is your item. Why don't you tell me what is up?
So the applicant is going to be is going to be requesting a continuance, and we did continue from November 8th. And since it's been such a short lapse at this point, staff is not going to be requesting a continuance fee, but we can let the applicant get up and ask. My understanding is she's going to ask for continuance now.
Okay. Very good.
Good evening. For the record, Leanne Bremer, 500 Broadway, Suite 400, Vancouver, 98660. Yes, we were here about a month ago or so asking for a continuance. It's a unique application, a covenant release. I don't think you've had one before, and we're working through some issues with the county, and we are requesting a continuance until February 14th, which is a scheduled hearing date. Feel that we've made good progress with the county on resolving some issues that dealing with the covenant and then the eventual development of the site. So we just need a little more time to work through that, and hopefully we'll resolve our issues and not have to come back for a hearing, but we're still.
I understand there's a development review site plan for like 9 acres of it, and it was submitted, and that's proceeding through on a parallel path?
It is, okay. Yes. So, and I want to just thank staff for waiving the continuance fee. I appreciate that.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else here on this item? Like to testify, weigh in, give your opinion? Okay. Barring any dissenting opinion on this, I'm inclined to grant the continuance to February 14th and keep me posted. I have the record is still online, and so it'll sit there. Any documents or any change to the record, let me know, and we'll see you in February maybe. Okay. Thank you. That takes care of the covenant release. So that brings the main course for tonight, which is the Person Family Cluster Subdivision, PLD 2018-32. It's 10-acre zoning, seeking 4 development lots and a single remainder lot, R10. And I'll take a staff report whenever you're ready, please.
This application is proposing to divide 38.38 acres into 4 lots, 4 developable lots with 1 undevelopable remainder lot using the cluster provisions in the R10 zoning district. Applicant is Neil Real Estate Services and the owner is the Person Family Living Trust. So the project is located about half a mile west of State Route 503 and about 2.5 miles north of the city of Battle Ground. But here's the zoning map of the area. So the site itself is zoned R10. To the west, north, and east is R5, and across 299th Street, the area is zoned Ag 20. So here's the site. It's been logged at various times in the past. There's an existing single-family residence and a shop towards the middle of the property. There are no mapped wetlands on the site, but there are a couple of non-fish-bearing streams located in the northwest corner, and there are areas of Oregon white oak woodlands. So here's the proposed plat. There are 4 cluster lots in the middle southern portion of the site. The remainder lot wraps around them, and there's a narrow strip of the remainder lot that's proposed between the cluster lots and northeast 299th Street. That portion of the remainder is proposed to serve as the landscape screening for the cluster lots. So the existing home is to be retained on lot 3. There are some areas of the oak woodlands that are on lot 3, and they bleed over a little bit onto lot 4. The areas of the oak woodlands are within the setbacks for lot 4. So applicant did a reasonable job in locating the cluster lots in relation to the oak woodlands on site. Let's see. So we'll get to the entertainment section of the presentation. This photo was taken from across the street looking north at the existing driveway. This driveway is going to need to be realigned so that it lines up with the existing driveway in the foreground. So here's a shot of the existing shop with the house on the right. That's on lot 3. And here's a photo of the strip of property along northeast 299th that's proposed to be retained as the landscape screening. And this is a portion of the remainder lot looking to the northwest from the cluster lots. And this is in the background the area of proposed lot 4. And this is from proposed lot 3, looking northward again towards the remainder lot. So the notice of application and optional SEPA DNS was sent out on November 8th. Staff report and the final DNS was issued on November 28th, and no SEPA appeal has been filed. Since the staff report went out, the applicant requested some revisions to conditions relating to the driveway improvement, and staff has agreed that we can defer them to prior to final plat, so there'll be D conditions. I've submitted Exhibit 24 into the record, basically reprinted it out, all the conditions to reflect the elimination of the A conditions and deferring the prior A conditions to D conditions. So the, you know, the project issues for the application included the Oregon white oaks. Envelopes are proposed. Habitat staff, along with state fish and wildlife officials, determined that the envelopes as proposed do meet county and state habitat requirements. One of the little items was that the remainder lot requires a forest management plan because that's there's going to be no development allowed on it. So staff has recommended that the forest management plan be more specific in noting that any logging or vegetation clearing within areas within the oak woodland envelopes on the remainder would require a habitat permit to work in those areas. And as I noted before, the driveway approach on the northeast 299th Street will need to be shifted a little bit to the west to align with the opposite driveway. So our recommendation is to approve subject to the conditions. Any questions?
I don't think I have any land use questions. I think maybe... if I could hear, is there from Mr. Watt any habitat issues? No, maybe you can kind of give me the general summary since there's a lot of habitat in this.
So I guess with the habitat that they've got out there, they've got the streams up in the northwest corner where they're going to completely avoid that with the development. And then they've also got the oak woodlands generally kind of in the center, but also down on the southern end as well, where we had went out to the site with the, yeah, so it's kind of those kind of gray shaded areas. So you got one big cluster on the west side that's just outside of the development for lots one and two. You've got a big cluster up where it says remainder lot five. And then there's just a little finger of them there where it kind of goes between lots three and four, where there's also an oak woodland. And the boundaries that we've got on there are the ones that when we went out in the field with Fish and Wildlife where they agreed where the oak woodlands, as they have them defined, would be. So, and with their development with lot three, they basically just kind of drew three and four. They basically proposed to, well, lot three already has the existing development, so that wasn't going to be an impact. But lot four, they provided a building envelope that was going to be outside of it. So
how, I don't know if you're familiar with the forest practices permit for this property. How does that interplay with the preservation requirements for the oak habitat?
As I understand, and it's the, I guess the forestry permit itself is just for the four lots. I said I don't think there's going to be any clearing on the existing lot three, and the other ones are, I think, subject to the conditions where we put on there that they need to try to avoid the oaks. So.
Okay, so the habitat conditions are going to control.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Or so no.
The forestry permit just covers the four development lots.
Right, okay. As far as I know.
Okay.
County Forester is here if you do have specific questions about that.
Okay. And I think it's just that general notion of the interplay between the thou shalt protect requirements of the habitat ordinance and the generally production orientation of forestry permits, how that would work out. And Mr. Bottomini, any engineering issues? Were you the one who reviewed the road mod request?
I was a part, as I recall, I was a part of processing of the road modification request, and we have individuals within Public Works who do review these road modification applications, so I'm in contact with them.
Okay.
Yep.
Any engineering issues of note on this one?
Not of note, unless you have any...
It's a pretty big lot, so
yep.
There's... There shouldn't be any that I can think of. And so, as I recall from the road modification, it was because of driveway spacing conflicts relative to the existing driveway. So I assume the driveways with which it conflicts are on the other side of the road. And part of the resolution is to simply align this driveway with the driveway on the south side.
Well, correct, and the way this would work is that there is still a need to gain road mod approval even if aligning a proposed driveway with an existing driveway on the opposite side of the road. So here what happened was that they, instead of creating an offset, they aligned it, and we often, and we do see this method, which is to say that even though the spacing standard is not met, still...
It's basically a zero spacing.
Correct, but there's still a potential for conflicts between the two driveways, even though they're aligned, mm-hmm. But it is still a way to mitigate against some of these turning conflicts. Typically, it is often viewed that at least aligning them is better than offsetting them. But that doesn't mean there isn't a need for road mod approval for the alignment of driveways. And in this case, they still were required to submit and justify and gain approval of a road modification for even aligning the driveways.
Okay, so there aren't any other driveways that are causing conflicts?
I don't recall, and the applicant can speak to that, but as I recall, I think it was this one that they are aligning with, as I recall. But the applicant can confirm that.
Okay. Okay, that's all the questions I have for this at this moment. Thank you. I will take the applicant's presentation at this time, please.
Good evening. My name is Bruce Neal, N-E-I-L-L, Neal Real Estate Services, 12913 Northeast 41st Street, Vancouver, 98682. We've reviewed staff's report and the changes that were made with regard to the request of our engineer on the engineering portion of that, moving that to the D, and we concur with that. The question that you asked with regard to the driveway, the only other driveway that would be in effect on this is there's a driveway on the south side of 299th Street that's west of the site, and we have a driveway which serves the remainder lot that's within conflict of that, but that was included in the road mod application, and that driveway which serves the remainder lot, because the remainder lot will be undeveloped, is only going to be used for maintenance items, like if we have stormwater facility that when the houses are built that would be there or something of that nature.
Where is that other driveway?
Let's see. It's in the.
Which driveway are you talking about?
I see the main driveway that's currently serving the house that's going to be on lot three. And then where's the other driveway that is going to serve the remainder lot?
It's west of lot one.
Okay.
Just before you get to the west property line, there's a on the plat map, there's a 17-foot shows there. That's the driveway that existing driveway which goes into the remainder.
Can you see the cursor pointing to it?
Can you see the cursor on that screen?
Yeah, I believe it's over here. Okay, that makes sense.
But again, lot five is going to be undeveloped, and will the only use for that road is provide access for maintenance and that type of thing.
Yeah, I saw the explanation in the road mod about that.
The only other issue that we have is really not an issue as much as a point of clarification. On the conditions.
The revised conditions?
This is related to the habitat.
Okay.
Condition D6B. It states that no clearing or development shall occur outside the building development envelopes indicated on the face of the plans. Because the plat is required to show the building envelopes for all of the lots, that could be confusing to think that no clearing on any of the lots would be in those outside the building envelopes would be allowed. And it's
a hard time finding D6E.
D is in dog, 6. B.
B is in boy. Okay.
B is in boy.
Got it. Okay. Let me.
And that cites habitat finding number 7.
Mm-hmm.
And in habitat finding number 7, it is clear that this is referring to that area which is priority habitat area, and that's the area where there'd be that. This condition is to not allow any clearing or development within that habitat, priority habitat area. And I went over this with Mr. Watt this morning, or this afternoon, and he concurred with that. And it's, like I said, it's more of a point of clarification, because if it's a note on the plat, we want to make sure that 2 years or 5 years down the road, when somebody comes in for a building permit, that that people aren't trying to figure out what exactly that applies to.
So, are you suggesting a clarification to this condition as worded?
If we were to just use the language that's in finding 7, the last sentence of finding number habitat, finding number 7, and just add no clearing or development shall occur outside the building development area. Or building development envelopes within a priority habitat area, then that would clarify the whole issue. And there wouldn't be any ambiguity or room for misunderstanding.
Okay.
And not only in D6B, but also in D11M, has the same note, and so it'd have to be changed there also.
Okay. Anything else?
That is it.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else wish to testify in favor? Anyone with neutral testimony or questions? Anyone opposed? Anyone at all? Okay. Mr. Vizzala?
We're good with those changes as proposed.
Okay. Mr. Watt, I see the affirmative head nod on those that clarification to those two habitat conditions. Everything else seems now pinned down. Okay. With that, I will close the record on this item and take it under consideration, issue a written decision in approximately 2 weeks. Thank you. And that concludes tonight's hearing.